Welcome to the XBLA Fancast, episode 3 for Tuesday, March 8th, 2011. And I'm joined here again with Tyler and Andrew.
Hey, what's up? This is Tyler, associate editor of Xbox Live Arcade Fans. Yeah.
And this is Andrew, the writer at XBLA, one of the writers at XBLA Fans.
He's our only writer, apparently.
Yeah, no. I'm the only one that writes.
All right, so we got a lot of news for you guys coming out of GDC. For one thing, Double Fine has revealed Trenched, finally.
And I'm very excited about that game. I can't wait.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I'm really excited because I've been waiting for them to finally announce the name of their third title with THQ.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. They've made some pretty solid games in the past. I'm sure this will be cool and fun. It looks awesome, so, you know, I'm sure it'll play awesome.
It's Double Fine, man. I can't wait to
check
that one out. And the other games, because I haven't played any other games yet, and I'm a bad Xbox Live Arcade fan, I guess. I haven't played
You need to check out Stacking and Costume Quest.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of excited about this because it kind of has that more, I don't almost want to say adult feel in the sense that it's just not, like, Costume Quest kind of seemed like it was directed more toward children. Then this one, you know, is mech combat. I mean, you just can't do anything wrong with mech combat. It's just going to be fun no matter what you do, at least I hope.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen the trailer yet, I definitely recommend checking it out because it looks like, what did you guys say? It was like World War One almost with mech?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it started off looking like kind of like a Toy Soldiers trailer, and then it just took off. With the mechs and whatnot, I was just like, oh, that's kind of cool. I think it's World War One, but...
Well, I'm staring at one of the pictures now, and it really looks like the Washington Monument is right in the background, just being destroyed. I mean, that's pretty tight looking.
I can't wait to see the sense of humor that they inject into that game.
Yeah, that's something that's definitely probably going to be there. I mean, it's just... It's Double Fine. You're going to expect the humor. And everything else is just kind of what builds around it.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I wonder, is it just, I didn't get it from the trailer, is it like a third-person combat? Is it like you're a foot soldier getting into mechs, or is it like, I couldn't really tell what it was supposed to be.
That's what it looked like to me. It looked like kind of like a Armored Core kind of gameplay. I don't know if you've ever played one of those games, but it looked like that, but cool. Because, I don't know, those games got old real quick.
Yeah. I used to be a huge fan of Chrome Hounds just because it was interesting how they had that whole, you know, persistent world thing that you were kind of fighting and how you built your mech and you could customize it. And that was always pretty cool. And it's nice to see actually Hybrid's trying to do that whole persistent world thing. And they finally announced a little bit more about that. And have you guys seen the trailer?
Yes. I think it's really interesting what they're trying to do with the controls. Putting movement on the face buttons. That's I don't know. Like they're pretty good at innovating. I'd say, I don't know if you guys played Scribblenauts, and I think they did Scribblenauts, right, on the DS.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. They're really good at coming up with new ideas and implementing it in ways that are really different. And I'm a huge shooter fan, and like when I heard that they were doing a shooter game that was going to be really innovative, I was very interested to see what it was going to be. And checking out that trailer, man, I'm very excited for what they're going to do.
Yeah, I watched the trailer too, and the thing that really excited me the most was that it looks like an actual World War kind of feel to it, and that's like my favorite thing about like when you play like games like Risk or something like that, is picking the actual globe as we're used to seeing it. Like if it's something like that where you take over like actual countries we know, I don't know, that gets me more interested than like the games where you take over fake countries or something like that. And it showed like a clip of like Spain getting attacked or something like that, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I could get into something like that.
Why do you hate Spain?
I don't hate Spain. I love Spain. It's my second favorite country.
Yeah, the thing I thought was really cool was just the whole concept of mapping the movement to the face buttons, just because, I mean, most shooters, when you get used to it, you really have like two control sets. I mean, you have kind of the standard Call of Duty, and then you have the more arcadey kind of shooters that are a little different. But even then, like, it's still the same you move with the left stick, you know, you look around with the right stick. Nothing's really been done that much differently since, you know, the N64.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of reminds me of when Assassin's Creed first came out. Do you guys remember when they were talking about how the A button was like the feet button and the X button was your hands and the Y button was like your head or something like that?
Yeah.
It literally just came down to hold A to run, hit X to kill guys, and hit Y to go into Eagle Vision. It wasn't like that. They made it sound really different when it really wasn't that different. So I'm hoping that this won't turn out to be the same way, where it's kind of just like, it doesn't look like it is. So, I mean, I don't want to compare the two, but yeah, it looks like it's going to be really different.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I wasn't at GDC to, you know, get any hands-on time with it, but I've been reading up on it, and like Joystick called it like a 3-on-3 sped up Valkyrie Chronicles, which, I mean, that is just crazy when you think about the type of game that is. And then comparing that to, you know, an XBLA shooter, I mean, that just sounds like a blast to me.
Yeah, man. What is the developer? Is it Fifth Cell?
Fifth Cell.
Fifth Cell, man, they are awesome. I wish they would do more, but I mean, I'm glad that they just do one thing every once in a while that just completely breaks the mold, so to say, and just kind of changes it all up. So I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, that seems to be their MO. It's just, you know, we'll release a game and it's just going to be completely different. To the point that if you ask us what's different about it, we're just going to shake our head and be like, have you not been listening?
And it's like the top reason it's selling well, if it sells well, will be word of mouth. Like, how many people do you know bought Scribblenauts after they heard of it for the first time or whatever? You're like, I can put in red dinosaur, and a red dinosaur pops up. And it's like, really?
Yeah, I remember I was at E3 the first time that was, like, playable, really. And, I mean, there were so many just random combinations. And, like, a bunch of people I knew were, you know, we were having, like, a little contest between each other just trying to see who could come up with the weirdest thing that it would actually put in. And, like, I mean, I think you could even type in game journalist and, like, Chupacabra and all that other weird stuff and just go crazy with it. I mean, that was awesome.
I remember seeing videos where people were typing in Rick Astley and Keyboard Cat, and, like, they were popping up in there. I thought that was awesome.
Oh, that's one I've never even thought to try. I'm going to have to go try, like, Rick Astley and Rick Rolling later.
For Epic Beard Man.
Yeah. And then there was another game that looks like it's going to be displayed at PAX East, and it's called Skullgirls. Have you guys checked that out at all?
I did not see the trailer for that at all. It looked... I saw a small picture of it that was really tiny, and the first thing it reminded me of was Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I don't even know if that's close at all, but just like the style of the graphics reminded me of that. And that was all I saw of it, so... not really qualified to speak about it, so I don't know if you guys saw it at all.
Yeah, it's 2D, and it's done by the guy who did Scott Pilgrim, so he did some of the artwork for that. But, I mean, it's got, you know, that kind of advanced graphical look, though, to it, so it's not just, you know, standard 2D.
Yeah, I checked it out. It looked pretty cool, like the art style of it. I like a lot of weird art styles, so... it stood out to me as different, but it still looked like a fighting game, which I'm just not that interested in.
Yeah, I totally understand you there, because, I mean, I picked up Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and this is, like, the first time I've actually really enjoyed a fighting game, just because it was so simple. Because normally I sit there and I'm, like, you know, barely able to pull off a block and then a kick, and I'll be playing some guy online who literally just, like, throws me into the earth. Like, I go off the screen, and I just get split in half, and I'm like, what just happened? And this just isn't even fair.
You just lay down and die.
Yeah, no, honestly, I mean, that's just what it is. You lay down, or either that, or you get the guy who sits in the back of the corner and shoots fireballs at you the whole time.
Yep.
And that is the most obnoxious thing ever. I've never understood how that is fun.
Didn't we say that in the first episode?
Oh, yes, this is going back to the first episode.
Yay, fighting games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then Electronic Arts released a new trailer for Fancy Pants Adventures. Have you guys checked that out?
Yeah, I thought that looked pretty cool. The way it animates and kind of moves around reminded me of N+. I don't know if that's accurate to say or not to you guys. I mean, it just reminded me of that. And I like the way the kind of like the hand-drawn graphics look. It looks like a cool little platformer game. I'll definitely be checking that out, I think.
Yeah, I thought the same thing the first time I looked at it. I was like, well, it looks kind of like N Plus meets Meat Boy, only not as many hazards as Meat Boy has. It looked like N Plus, like the style, because you got the little stick guy and you're just, you know, jumping back and forth. But it also looked like Meat Boy, as in, like, it requires you to have excellent speed as you try to go through some of these things, which N Plus didn't really force you to do. You could kind of stand there for a while in N Plus and, like, you know, memorize a pattern and then jump through some missiles. Well, and it looked pretty cool. It looked interesting. Those are both games I enjoyed, so I will probably be picking this one up.
If I remember right, this was actually a Flash game originally, and it was kind of like Sonic. So, I mean, it's kind of that kind of mix of what you're talking about with, you know, kind of a Sonic type of game. Where, you know,
yeah,
it's literally
it does
that
have a very Flash look to it.
Well, yeah, if I remember right, it's just like Meat Boy, you know, how that started out on Newgrounds. This started out somewhere else, and it's, you know, an indie developer. Brad Bourne, I think, was the guy who made this up. And, I mean, it looks really cool. I mean, it looks like they've done a lot to, you know, up the production value, in a sense, to bring it to Xbox Live Arcade, a lot like Meat Boy did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I saw that, too, and I thought, oh, wow, it looks like one of those games that would be Game of the Day on Newgrounds for about a week.
Yeah,
I don't know. Those games are fun to me. I like those kind of games, so I'm interested.
So have either of you guys tried out the PC game Magicka?
No.
Okay. Yeah, me either, actually. Because I've been sitting back and I've been hoping it comes to consoles. And they finally released a statement saying that they do want to bring it to consoles. But they're still waiting on the green light from Microsoft and Sony. So do you guys think that's actually going to happen?
I don't even know. What is Magicka? It sounds like the card game or something.
No, it's not Magic the Gathering. It's let me check up real quick again, but it's got, you know, 4-player co-op, and it's more of a adventure kind of game with, you know, like a war mage type of thing. Again, all I have to do for Tyler is say war mage, and now he's excited.
I'm there.
He's already excited. So I mean, we've got that, but it's one of those things where basically they're waiting to get, you know, the support from Microsoft or Sony, and I mean that process can be an absolute pain. That's something I've heard from so many developers.
I've heard that a lot too. That's sad, because I mean, it sounds like a cool game to me, anyways. I mean, you said War Mage, and I'm interested, so that piques my interest. I don't know what how other people feel, but I mean, you don't want to see like a good idea get shot down by Microsoft or Sony just because it doesn't meet their whatever requirements or whatever they do to certify a game. I don't know what like goes on, but
yeah. One of the things a lot of people don't recognize is, especially for Xbox Live Arcade, you have to go through an approved publisher or whatnot, or Microsoft has to publish the game for it to be able to get on there. And Microsoft basically only publishes, you know, exclusive titles. We had the same thing happen about a year ago when we were talking to the developer for Machinarium, and that became a huge story because he basically told us Microsoft wouldn't talk to him anymore because he'd published it on Mac and Linux.
Oh my god.
When he did it on PC originally. Which, I mean, that's disappointing to hear, but I mean, it's understandable to a degree for Microsoft to not want to put in, you know, a bunch of promotional power basically behind a game that is going to be on other platforms beyond just them when they have a system in place where they can still get on if they go through another, you know, publisher. Uh-huh. Problem is, a lot of people say that going through that other publisher takes too big a piece of the pie for the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've heard nothing but bad comments and whatnot from developers too on the same situation. So I know it's hard for them to get through that whole certification, but I just don't see, like, you don't have to promote a great game like Machinarium. Just let it on, you know. It doesn't have to be a Summer of Arcade title. Just let it be on, you know. It can be just as successful as like an Axel and Pixel, because it's a very similar game. It's very art driven, you know.
Exactly.
I played Machinarium just because it looked awesome, and I don't like point and click games, but I played it just because of how creative it looked.
Yeah, and it's sad to see games like that missing out on the service just because of, you know, business decisions that don't really make sense to the common person. I mean, I'm sure there's someone out there at Microsoft who knows exactly what's going on, and someone out there works all these developers and publishers. But the normal people like us, it's a little disheartening to see. But we do have another game that's going to be coming out later this month called Battle LA, based around the movie. So have you guys looked into that at all?
Yeah, I actually watched the trailer and I thought it didn't look terrible. I mean, if this was a retail game, then this game would be in serious trouble. Because it kind of had like a, I don't know what you want to call it, a cheap look almost to it. As a downloadable game, I think it looks fine. That's the key right there, is that like a lot of, you know, we all like to joke around and say movie games suck. They're terrible. They're just sloppily done and rushed out, you know, to be on the shelves along with the movie. And that could be the same thing for this one, but at least it's a downloadable title, so it kind of might be better suited for that audience, you know? And I thought it looked kind of cool. I mean, I live outside of LA, so the movie is automatically interesting to me. And you know, like I said, I like shooters, and this looks kind of cool. I'll check it out when it comes out. I think it's coming out soon, because the movie come out like,
yeah,
in 4 days?
It's coming out sometime in March. That's all I have at the moment.
Because I think the movie comes out March 11th, so it's got to be coming out soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it looked pretty cool too, to be honest with you. The movie really intrigues me though. The movie looks kind of cool, so. I know movie games do suck, as most people will say, but and that's why I never play them, because they're usually $60. But for $10, I'm at least going to give the, or $15, whatever it is, I'm at least going to give the demo a shot, and I won't have high expectations going into something like that, you know?
Yeah, and you know, maybe it'll even surprise you at that point, you know, because you're going in thinking, like, oh, it's a movie game, it's cheap, you know? Maybe it'll be really good, and, like, maybe movie games will have an audience, a better audience on Xbox Live Arcade. Maybe they'll even review better. Who knows?
Yeah, it's really nice to see, you know, that kind of quality benchmark. I mean, if you look at the graphics for this, it actually looks pretty good. I mean, it looks bad for a $60 game, but when you're thinking about more of a $15 game that's downloadable, I mean, it looks a lot like Section 8 Prejudice, where it's going to be setting, you know, that new kind of benchmark for shooters on the service. And that's something that's nice to see. Because I know Section 8 Prejudice looks really good to me. I've actually had the opportunity to play that. And that's one of those games that when it was released for $60, I was kind of iffy on it. It was fun. It just never really stuck for me. But now that they're giving basically that same game, plus more content, plus updated graphics, plus an entire new, you know, story mode, I'm like, that looks like it'll be pretty good for, you know, $15.
Yeah, I will definitely buy that. That looks really awesome. Sorry, Battle LA, but you remind me of Section 8, and I want that more. So, and I'll definitely be buying that one, because I played the game too, and it just, like, I could see, like, everything that was cool about it, it just didn't make me feel anything. I didn't have, like, that moment where you play, like, Call of Duty or Halo, and you're like, this is awesome, I'm going to come back to this, or Battlefield or something like that. You know, I didn't have, like, that special something that made me want to come back to it. Like, coming, like, shooting down from the sky and, like an asteroid and landing on the battlefield and like coming up in like a big mech suit. That is awesome, but it needed more than that. And I think that like the, like you said, everything that's updated about the Xbox Live Arcade version and just the fact that it's cheaper, it's a downloadable game. I'm instantly wanting that game right
now.
Yeah. And just to like show that there's definitely space there to be successful. I mean, Battlefield was obviously a very successful XBLA shooter, so you can make a great shooter and only charge a minimal price. And Scott Pilgrim was a very successful movie-based sort of game, you know, that came out along with the release of the movie, and it did really well. It's a really great game. It got great reviews, and people liked it. So there's definitely opportunities there to be successful. You just gotta make sure that you focus on quality.
Yeah. And talking about that whole, you know, focusing on the quality versus just throwing in a tie-in, we have Red Faction's Battleground. We finally have the release date for that, and it's going to be coming out on April 5th for XBLA. So I'm hoping that we see something more like Case Zero versus, you know, Dead Space Ignition or whatnot.
Definitely.
Because I don't know if you played both of those, but the one, Case Zero, I was like, okay, this is great. You know, it really whet my appetite, and I'm like, I want this game now. Versus the Dead Space thing, I was like, oh, God, please just let it stop, and I deleted it pretty quick.
Yeah, I had the same feeling. I thought Dead Space, not trying to be mean here, but I thought that was clearly one of the worst XBLA games in 2010, and I thought that K-Zero was one of the better ones, and that K-Zero, it was so perfect because I had never played a Dead Rising game before. I had only watched my roommate play one and get frustrated because of the autosave feature, so I wanted to try it myself, but at $5, it wasn't even like... questionable if that was, even if it sucked at $5, whatever, here's my $5, I cut my losses, I'll get the achievements and I'll never play the game again. But it was good enough that I played the second one, and the second Dead Rising XBLA game was alright. It wasn't as great and like eye-opening as the first one was, but that may just be because I never played the retail version before. But I'm definitely 100% into the $5 games that are kind of tie-ins to retail games, because a lot of times with retail games I won't play them for various reasons, but for $5 I will definitely play a portion of it.
With the Red Faction one, it's not exactly going to be, you know, the retail experience like K-Zero was. It looks like it's going to be more of a top-down twin stick destruction derby style type of game, which
I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, Destruction Derby, again, Tyler's in. You just got to say some keywords with him.
Twin stick,
Destruction Derby game. I think he'd probably just shell out $60 for it on XBLA.
I would. The only thing is, I don't understand why it has the name Red Faction on it when you put it that way. Because I love Red Faction. I played every single one of them. They're one of my favorite franchises. But, like, Red Faction to me is about shooting stuff and blowing holes in walls and like destroying the environment with like a guy. This kind of reminds me of like a car combat game. Not that that's not awesome, but like I don't understand why it's called Red Faction, because it looks like you're just driving around vehicles. I mean, it could still really be cool, but I worry that maybe like a fan who comes in there expecting like a Dead Rising K-Zero to Dead Rising 2, you know, is going to be disappointed when they get in there and it's not like you're a dude shooting stuff. You know, you're driving a car, and you know, maybe it's awesome. You said Destruction Derby, like it has my attention right away.
The twin stick had my attention.
Yeah,
I'm all into those kind of games. I don't care how bad your twin stick game is, I'll buy it and I'll get all the achievements in it.
Oh, we've noticed. We've watched your games played, and we've noticed, you know, Microbot creeps in, and you're like, is that any good? He's like, well, it's got twin sticks.
I didn't really enjoy that one, but I still completed it.
Yeah.
But games like Assault Heroes is awesome. Wolf of the Battlefield is one of my favorite games on XBLA. I don't know. I love those twin stick games, and I can thank Geometry Wars for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, Geometry Wars.
Thanks for being awesome.
Thank you, Bizarre, and your new company.
Yeah,
more
Lucid.
Geometry Wars, please.
Yeah, please make another Geometry Wars. But moving on to the new releases, have both of you guys played Beyond Good and Evil?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried it. Tyler go first.
Go for it, Tyler. All right.
I have another funny story to tell after this. But I've been playing Beyond Good and Evil. I own it for the Xbox, but I only played like the first 5 minutes of it. It was like one of those games that like I always read about. Like, this is one of those games you have to play. You know, it's one of those quintessential, just must own, must play games. So I bought it just on merit that like I had to own it, and I just never really played it. And now that it's on Xbox Live Arcade, I have no excuse not to play it. And it's only $10, which is really awesome. So I downloaded it and have been playing it. I really enjoy it. The first word that came to my mind when I was playing was smooth. Just like the animations, the graphics, the controls, everything just seemed really smooth to me. It has a lot of like weird things like that word, I don't know, I guess you associate with the last generation of consoles, I guess, like kind of like the cheesy like Time Splitter graphics sometimes, but then like the dude who's like voice acting in his head just kind of going back and forth in his mouth, you know, stuff like that, you know, you can kind of forgive, especially being a downloadable title.
No, it definitely shows its date in a couple spots, but that's also a nice thing in a sense, because it's almost like a flashback to an earlier era in gaming, because a lot of the problems kind of been, you know, worked through, other than a couple glitches in the game. But it's just really nice, because I know I didn't play it back when it came out originally. because I don't know, I just somehow missed it, and then I haven't gone back through and played a lot of those, you know, cult classic kind of games. I haven't played Beyond Good and Evil. I haven't played Psychonauts. I know someone's going to stop listening right when I say that. I'm probably going to get some hate mail. If anyone wants to know, you can send the hate mail to Tyler, not John. He'll read through it. I won't.
Please. I promise I won't hit delete.
Yeah, I tried the game. I demoed it last night. First initial thought was, this game is awesome, because the game starts off with like that kind of interactive cutscene where it's kind of like telling a story, and then all of a sudden you're taking control and you're fighting those things, whatever they were, that like stole the little orphans. And I was like, this game is awesome. You are
slow,
like,
motion.
Yeah, I'm like, how many moves are they going to teach me with like all this different combat that they can do? But then after I played it a little longer, it was like, well, here's a camera. And I was like, ooh, big negative. The last thing I want to do is take pictures of things. And I know there's an achievement somewhere that's going to force me to take a picture.
You didn't like the original Dead Rising, then, if you don't like taking pictures. Probably a good thing you skipped that one.
Yeah.
That was a huge focus on that game.
Yeah, so that was annoying. And then I climbed the top of that lighthouse, and I tried to take a picture of something that was like, walking around the top of the lighthouse, and it said you're too far away, and I was super annoyed at that point, because the last thing I want is to take pictures, and then if you tell me I'm standing too far away from something to take pictures,
you can zoom in and out.
Yeah, I zoomed all the way in, and it said you're too far away. So
yeah,
obviously
a little later
there's some
on the game you get a zoom.
Jump. Yeah, like, there. I figured you were supposed to jump up on the next level or something, and then I tried to jump off the lighthouse just because, you know what, I want to see what happens when you jump off the lighthouse, and I became a little annoyed there because it's got invisible wall kind of deal where if you jump off a cliff, she just automatically turns around and clings to the side of the cliff. And there's no jump all the way off the cliff at that point. There's only a climb back to the level that you're trying to stand on before this. So, I don't know. It seemed like a really cool game. It just had a couple mechanics in it that I just don't want to deal with. I did really enjoy the music. I thought that was solid through the entire demo, all the different sounds and whatnot. I thought the audio was
awesome.
Excellent. Yeah. And I like those older style of graphics. I know it's HD, but you can tell it's like an older style of game, and I like that. I thought that was cool. There's a couple things that just, it seemed like it would force me to play the game the way I don't want to do it. So I just decided not to. For 400 points, I might be a little bit more lenient, but for 800, I don't know. I'll wait for a sale for now.
Yeah. I know when I was playing it, I was like, okay, this is really great. It's got, you know, a ton of collectible type stuff. So the people who are into that, like, I know they're going to be down with that, because I have a couple friends who, the type of games they like to play are the things where literally you're going around collecting just random stuff. Like, I have a friend who plays the Lego games, and he loves those more than anything, because all he does is collect the stuff. And personally, I hate that type of stuff, but, like, you know, with this, you're collecting all the pearls, you got to collect all the photographs, you got to, you know, go from point A to point B all the time and, you know, buy the new parts to your boat. I mean, it's got a lot of just that type of stuff in there.
Yeah, that's cool. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. Oh, it's all good. And then it just kind of has that, you know, almost like Zelda-like feel when you're playing the game with the combat and stuff. You know, you just hit the X, you can't jump, you know, that same type of thing.
Yeah. Two things that I wanted to bring up real quick. Ross mentioned this, our podcast producer and writer for the site. He mentioned this. I didn't think about it too much at first, but when he said it, like, it totally brought it out, and I really noticed it. That it really is annoying that I can't navigate the menus with the D-pad. Why in the hell is that? That drives me crazy. I have to use the joystick. At first, I thought my controller wasn't working, and then I realized that I was like, oh, I just have to use the joystick. What? Why? And then there's been a lot of reports of that game being glitchy, like glitched achievements, people getting stuck in rooms. Myself included, I got stuck in a room early on, and continues my saga of broken games that don't work for me and that are just going to anger me to no end.
I'm starting to feel like there might be a common thread with these broken games, though.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about that, though, is that if you guys remember on the first episode, our first episode, I was complaining about NHL 3-on-3 Arcade and how the achievements were glitched and broken and they weren't working, and I said that they were still glitched in episode 2. Well, I played with Andrew, and turns out they're not glitched. I am just really, really dumb, and I was ending the game before it was over, like, because after a period, it goes to the menu, and, you know, it's just, like, continue. And I thought that was the end of the game, because it was an arcade game. I'm like, oh, it only lasts 15 minutes or whatever. I guess I'll quit. And then I wasn't getting any of the achievements, and I was like, "What? Why am I not getting that?" I couldn't figure it out. And then when we were playing it, I noticed that it said, second period, continue, resume game. And I was like, oh, there's three periods, just like
in real hockey. Yeah, just like in real hockey.
Just like the real thing. So yeah. I hit resume, played two more periods, then sure enough, I finished the game, and I got like five achievements in one game, and I was just like, man, that was like one of those embarrassing mistakes that makes me feel like I just started playing video games or something.
No, I've definitely had those moments before, too. I mean,
oh, my God.
Like, earlier this week, I was trying to find Torchlight on Xbox Live Arcade, and then I realized, oh, yeah, it doesn't come out for another week. And I'm like, oh, bummer. Just because everyone I know on Twitter is talking about how they're playing it, and I'm like, I'm just going to go buy it. And then I'm like, nope, not out.
Why is this not out yet?
Yeah, I know, seriously.
Damn you, Steam.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's Steam. So, anyway, yeah, that game works now, and it's awesome because it works, and I got all the achievements. But then I traded spots, and now Beyond Good and Evil is broken for me, and I'm stuck in a room. I'm trying to figure out if I can get out of it.
And then next episode, we'll probably continue Tyler's saga, where we find out that there is a way out of the room. It's just, you know, you got to press a button or something.
You just
got to
turn the door handle.
Go over to this corner and hit Y and talk to the pig, and he does something and lets you out. And
yeah, exactly.
I was running in circles in this room for 2 hours, screaming my head off because I couldn't figure the way out.
The one thing that annoyed me the most about Beyond Good and Evil so far is, again, I was talking with Ross, our podcast producer, and he was telling me again how much stealth there was, and then it just, like, you know, the glass shattered and my world was just broken. I'm like, oh God, there is so much stealth to this game, and it's driving me insane now. Like, first I just didn't notice, I don't even know how, and then now I'm like, oh God, I hate this, please get me out of here. And it's just so much of this, you know, hiding behind a crate, waiting, you know, a minute for a guy to move so you can move to the next crate to wait another minute, and then if you get caught, you gotta start all over again.
You know, that was so fun back in 1998 when Metal Gear Solid did it.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of those conventions that I'm kind of glad has gone away a little bit, just because, like, I loved Splinter Cell when it first started, but after about the third one, I was kind of ready for something new. So I was kind of glad when the new Splinter Cell came out and it was a little different.
Yeah.
Well, as far as...
It's gone, it's back.
Yeah.
As far as, like, Beyond Good and Evil, I did have one more gripe about it, and I didn't get stuck like Tyler got stuck, but I did get stuck because there was, like, a section where you watch, like, a little interactive movie. It's like, if you will accept this mission, then this will happen. And right there, I just want to click, yes, I accept mission. But no, you have to go, like, find the mission or something like that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find how to trigger it. And I just want to say right now, I miss the days of the old Sega games with the giant red arrow in the top middle of your screen that just points where to go. Like, I don't like exploring things for myself. I want something just telling me where to go. And if I don't want to go there, I'll go explore.
You're probably one of those people who loved when Fable put in, you know, the little, like, golden breadcrumb trail.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I know they got so much crap for doing that because people were like, well, you're just encouraging people not explore anymore. And it's like, well, some people don't like that. I mean, you can turn
the thing
off.
It just makes it optional.
Yeah, you can turn it off normally.
Yeah, and I loved it about stacking. There was, like, the intuition button that just showed you, like, general area that you should probably be in if you want to solve this puzzle. I love that. And I love on, like, games like Midnight Club, if you ever get lost, you can look up and you can see a giant thing of yellow smoke somewhere. And you're like, all right, well, that's where I'm supposed to be, so I should get there. And I like games to be more linear, and I can't stand, like, this more, like, HUDless environment that we're getting to with games, just wanting to take everything off the screen, and I would rather just be inundated with information, and I'll only read the parts that I want to.
Yeah, I like when it's optional and the amount of stuff you can turn on or off, but one of the things that really frustrates me more than anything is when you just don't know where to go. Because I like finding it out for myself, but sometimes they just, you know, put the information in such obscure locations. Like, I mean, on this one, I was trying to find, or Beyond Good and Evil, I was trying to find something. I'm like, well, I gotta go to the menu, and first off, I couldn't figure out how to get the menu open, and then I'm like, well, I gotta check my mail, and then I found my mail, and then there's like 45 mail things in there that I've never read, and I'm like, oh God, which one actually has the thing I actually need to find the code for this door, and then it just becomes a mess. And I mean, that happens a lot with games every once.
I want to kill whoever invented getting email in a video game.
Oh, God. I do, too, because I just sit here and I look at my mailbox now. Right now, I have 22,814 unread messages. I'm not going to read most of those. I scan, you know, the headings, and I normally try to mark them as read, or, you know, I'll check them on my phone and stuff. But I'm not going to go through and check all these old emails from, you know, 2 years ago that apparently just I haven't read yet. And I'm just like, I stop caring when Facebook updates me or Twitter updates me. I have a new follower. I'm like, I need to just start turning that stuff off. But I'm like, I do not want to have to deal with email during a video game. I'm like, I'm so glad to just get away from it when I start playing games.
Once again, send your hate mail to John.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Send my hate mail, and I just probably won't check it. I mean, I'll look. If I see it, I'll try to respond.
I don't think you'll get much hate mail on it. I don't think anybody likes email games.
No.
Yeah, email, texting, I'm just like, yeah, keep that out of my video games. Keep the Twitter out of my video games. Keep the Facebook out of my video games. I don't want to – I'm not into that whole thing of every 5 minutes, update your friends. Hello. I've taken a new picture on – Beyond Good and Evil, send it to my Facebook feed. I'm glad they didn't do something like that.
Oh my god, insane. If they did that, oh my god. Don't give them ideas.
Yeah, I know, seriously.
Oh, it'll happen soon.
No, I mean, I remember, I think it was the Burnout games, the new one or something.
Blur.
New Need for Speed and Blur, yeah. They both had, you know, like, you could update your friends on, you know, social media and stuff when you did stuff. And I was like, oh, God.
Please. The worst part is when they make it an achievement.
Oh, yeah. When they make
it an
achievement.
When it's an achievement, everybody does it. Yeah. I remember when Blur came out, my Twitter stream for that, like, release day blew up with all these Blur updates. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Oh, God.
So you guys been playing anything else besides Beyond Good and Evil?
Yeah, I have. I've been playing a lot of Steam because I was out of commission on the internet all weekend, so all I had with me was a laptop with whatever I had downloaded on it. And I know this is an XBLA podcast, but I just want to say, if you have a Steam account, go check out the game called Night Sky. It's like a puzzle game where you're a little ball and you just got to roll from left to right, and it's got physics to it. It's got puzzle elements. It's really awesome. And, I've been playing that, and last night I checked out, or I didn't check out, I got back into Poker Smash, as I do every week. And again, my chain was broken by a friggin' flush, and that burns me so bad.
Absolutely frustrating, yeah.
Yeah, and I've been playing Mad Balls a lot, too. I don't know, I got back into that. That's one of my favorite XBLA games, so if you have Mad Balls, join the online multiplayer, so that way there's more of a community.
I can tell you like ball games with physics.
Yeah. Seems to be something. To...
Yeah, Switchball was pretty awesome. You guys ever check that one out?
No, I missed
Marble
that
Blast.
One too. So it looks like if you got twin sticks or balls with physics, Andrew is your guy.
Puzzle.
Puzzles every once in a while, he'll get into those, you know, match games with poker and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's more action-y.
Yeah. I've been digging back into Toy Soldiers a little bit, and I mean, I got just completely owned for like the first 5 times against that stupid giant tank
wheels.
Yeah, it was driving me nuts, and I'm like, I'm just swapping down the difficulty. I don't even care at this point. I just want to beat the level. I'm just moved on past there, and I'm like, okay, now I can go back and do it later.
Yeah, it's a great game. One of the things I noticed, I don't know if it's the DLC or the regular campaign, but you know how at the beginning of every level, there's like one lead soldier who's like, let's go! And he like points and he starts running. Whenever you're the French army, look at that lead soldier. He's not carrying a gun. He's carrying a loaf of bread. And I thought that was hilarious.
Okay, I'm going to have to go check that out because I've never noticed that.
Yeah. I was like, what is he? Because it looked like a 2x4 one day, like old Hacksaw Jim Duggan style 2x4. I'm like, what the heck is that guy carrying? So the next time I played a level, I zoomed in and just followed that guy. And sure enough, he had a loaf of bread in his hands.
That's awesome.
I'm like, that's hilarious.
All right. So looks like we're going to have to start to wrap up. Next week, you'll have some more information for you guys. Andrew's going to be heading out to PAX, so that'll be great. And then following after that, we got another special surprise for you guys where we'll have a lot of content and some pretty cool contests and stuff going your way.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So,
I'm excited for you guys out there who are going to be winning that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And in lieu of hate mail, if you do want to send me anything, try @XBLAFans on Twitter. I'll actually respond to that, and it's a lot easier, and it won't get buried in my mailbox. And You can follow us there, tweet us, let us know what you think about the show. If you want to see anything change, well, at least listen to it. We might not do it. We might.
We're sorry for like the slow start. We're all very tired and we're still getting used to this. So if you have any suggestions at all, get at us on Twitter for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know about the rest of them, but I was so exhausted before we even started. I just grabbed a Red Bull and I'm like, I'm down in this thing.
And I was just like, wait, what happened this week? Oh, I just remember playing the arcade NHL game, and then there was what?
It's the busy season for us, you know, between GDC, and then you got PAX, and then in a couple months we got E3. So, I mean, we're going to have a lot of great content for you guys. And as always, it's great to be with you guys. I'm John Laster, by the way. I'm the editor-in-chief of XBLA Fans. And then we have Andrew Cruz and Tyler Cameron joined with me. And then we have our producer, Ross, who does an amazing job each week. And he's the reason this thing actually sounds decent enough that we can let you hear it. Otherwise, it'd be pretty bad.
Yeah, Ross is pretty much the man.
You're my boy, Ross.
Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter. I am at TwixPrintmatic. And Tyler...
I am at TylerTron with a zero for Tron. And I also just want to say if anyone out there likes game music a whole lot like me, then I have something special for you guys coming up. So.
Alright, and barring one of us getting accepted as Charlie Sheen's new crazy social media intern full of tiger blood, we will be joining you guys again next Tuesday. Un poquito de benzina para la turina del coche, Juanito el decano, esto va a picar el cuerpo para que quieres ser mejor. El mejor. Hale, 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 cuatro ruedas de sol.